Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome to TFL's Car Chat.
That's right, guys. We have a special one for you, something that we haven't discussed before.
We're going to talk about good and, more importantly, bad buying car experiences, because you've gone through a bunch of those, Nathan.
Oh, wow. Recently, a whole bunch of them. Buying cars out of fear. Having people intimidate you into buying cars, or having a really bad buying experience, or forced into buying a new car when you don't need one. Lots of these things happen. So we're going to talk about some good experiences, but we're certainly going to talk about the bad ones, because many of you have brought them up.
Yeah, and then you may be wondering, why is a Mustang up on the video screen behind us? And the reason for that is because that was a really good buying experience.
Correct. You want to start with that, though?
Well, let's start with why you're buying and selling all these cars. So as you know, Nathan is moving back to his home state.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your home state,
right? Home locale, actually, Southern California.
Yeah, and Nathan grew up in SoCal, and recently, his wife and himself and his son decided to go back to California and go west, young man.
Yes. There's a lot of regret. I've lived in Colorado for 22 years.
That's a long part of your life.
It really is. It really is. And I enjoyed almost every moment of it, and I really love it here. But there's opportunity there. There's family back there. So long story short, I'm going to open up a bureau for TFL in Southern California, meaning that we'll have access to more vehicles out there, and there'll be some opportunities that we don't normally get here in the Rockies.
Yeah, and then in case you guys are wondering, the way it works is most major metropolitan areas have press fleets of automobiles, and as journalists, we get to review them. And the way it works is they bring us a clean car on Monday, and we drive it, get it dirty, and then they
give it back
the following Monday, and then we do the whole thing all over again, and then, of course, we review those cars. And then, you know, places like Colorado aren't exactly the mecca of press fleet cars.
We
get trucks.
We get a lot of SUVs. Trucks and SUVs, and so we get some cars, but the reality is that L.A. represents one of the largest of all the fleets in the United States, because there's several different representatives for fleets out there. There's different shops that actually...
Yeah, it's also kind of the center of American car culture.
It really is. Despite everything in California, it is the center of car culture. And so a lot of vehicles are going to be heading there as such. What we don't get here in Colorado, I'll be trying to get in California. That's kind of how it's going to work.
Yeah, and then the other place, if you're curious, that has a great fleet is Detroit, for obvious reasons.
Not going there.
Yeah, not going there. It gets cold there.
Yeah, beach.
But that's because, of course, Ford, GM, and Stellantis are there.
Yeah, and among others, too. And there's other automakers that are building, you know, in the South and the Southeast area.
Would you say it's fair to say that, like, L.A. is the center of American car culture, while Detroit is kind of the center of American car manufacturing?
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your car. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your car, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your car hassle-free and fast, go to tflcar.com and click Sell Your Car in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
You know what I mean? The two are different.
Yeah, but yes, Detroit. Well, Detroit had a really dark era, and they're kind of coming out of it now. And I wouldn't say so much Detroit; I'd say Michigan.
Yeah,
because you know Dearborn and all that.
Exactly.
But all in all, it's still a huge area for manufacturing. But there are many other states, and I'm sure you guys are going to chime in and talk about these other states that have major manufacturing. But regardless of all the manufacturing, the car culture in terms of the population size of California dictates that a lot of people still drive out there. And yes, there'll be a lot of EVs out there. Of course, they're pushing for that mandate, but they're still driving gas-powered vehicles. So I'll be driving a variety of different things that, frankly, we don't get here.
Yeah, and then to start this process, I think you had a pretty easy car buying experience because, as you know, we did a series recently called Go Big Again, mm-hmm. where Nathan got to drive a 97?
97.
A Ford Expedition.
And I fell in love with it. It is just a big old brute. Has the original, the OG 5.4, which is a pretty solid engine. The vehicle was in really good condition. It needed a couple things, but I took care of that. And I needed something to tow a trailer and haul a ton of crap up and over the hill, basically getting me to Los Angeles. I'm not buying it because it's an inexpensive vehicle to drive. It gets horrible mileage, but it will get me there. And once I'm settled in Los Angeles, I'll start getting these fleet vehicles, meaning that I won't have to drive this thing as a daily. So that was a very easy buying experience. TFL made it easy. I've bought 4 vehicles from the studios in the past 15 years.
We have this deal where if an employee wants to buy it, we usually sell it to him for what we paid for it. In this case, we paid, I think, 6.5. This is a former fire chief's car, so it had low miles, like 113,000. But we sold it to you at a discount because we wanted you to be on your way to California with a safe vehicle that gets all your stuff there without having to like rent something or ship stuff. So that's a good towing rig. And are you gonna have like a U-Haul? Is that what you got?
Yeah. So those pods that you can buy put on the back of the truck. So we got one of those. But remember, I'm moving a family to California. Technically, a family of 4, even though my daughter's in school here. But still, all her crap is coming with. So we got a pod. We're going to load up a majority of the stuff in there, and then the stuff that I need to get access to immediately, we're putting into one of those 2-axle U-Haul trailers, and that's what I'm going to be towing with the Ford. And all that happens, well, probably by the time you guys hear this, I would imagine. It's happening really, really soon.
And last time we talked about this, a lot of you emailed us to say, hey, if you're looking for a videographer to work with Nathan, I know I've got experience. And, mm-hmm. and the fact is, we are. But luckily, one of our long-term videographers who worked here, 5 years?
Yep, Matt, about 5 years.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, moved back to California where he was also from.
Yep.
And hopefully, if all works well, he'll be working with Nathan. And not that we don't want to work with somebody else, but he knows the TFL workflow. He knows Nathan. And so
makes things a lot easier, and I'll be able to shoot videos right away. Well, fairly quickly. So for those of you looking at a calendar and wondering how things are going to change, probably in the middle to the end of July is when we're going to start pumping out videos from California. And I've already heard back from several automakers, and it sounds like we're in the pike to start getting things like Maseratis. Yeah, I'm going to be rolling. Always good to have a big, fat, bald guy driving a convertible Maserati. That really. But if I look the right part, who knows? Anyway, we'll cross that bridge in a little bit.
All right, well, let's start with a good buying experience. Let's go to something bad. Now, you recently had a horrible thing happened. Your wife's Mini that you've owned, 5 years, something like that? You bought it from Carvana, mm-hmm. Got caught up in a recent hailstorm.
Hell of a thing.
Yeah, here in Colorado, we have a lot of hail. And it didn't do well. So you decided that it was time to get rid of it. So tell me what happened and what did you get instead and what was the experience like?
Okay, so we initially were going to go to a dealer and trade her car in. And everybody, of course, was low buying. Now, bear in mind, before I get started, this is a car that in good condition would be worth about $10,000, $12,000 at tops.
What year Mini was it? It was a Countryman, right?
Yeah, it was a 16.
16.
You're right. Okay. But it had low mileage and it was in really good condition. Well, then, with the hail, so just keep that in mind. Now, with the hail damage, we had everything dropped and we knew it was going to drop. However, there were some really insulting offers coming in from actual dealerships. I'm not going to name the dealerships right now because I have a suspicion that many of them were suffering from the same exact thing. They're morons.
Okay.
Seriously. Some of the, aside from the fact, it's not a question of, hey, don't you know who I am?
Well, they probably didn't want to pay for a hail damage car.
No, exactly. But just be honest about it. Don't say, well, I'll give you $1,000 for it. That's more than anybody else. And this is what I got.
Oh, I get that. That's more than anybody else will give you.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love that one. Yeah. So this is what we did. And this is, I'm not being paid by them. And I know that they've made mistakes and they have issues too. But we went to Carvana, and they actually offered us quite a bit of money for the car.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, you got it from them.
I know, right?
So they have history with it. Yeah.
Exactly, history. So it's going to turn right around. We're going to get rid of it, and my wife is getting a slightly used Mazda CX-5. And the good news about that, aside from the fact that I am a bit of a Mazda fan, is that this will be our fourth Mazda, and we've had really good luck, knock on wood, with Mazda products. So she's excited about it. It's a decent LA car. Yes, I would prefer a hybrid. However, this gives her a little bit more fun, you know? She went from a Mini to something. I want her to have a little bit of a good time.
So was it a bad experience buying this? What happened?
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, no, the buying part was easy once we finally decided to go through Carvana, because we're going to trade the car in and take it. But before that, the other dealerships were absolutely horrific. And they were doing things like, well, I mean, our credit's decent. You know, it's all right. But they were pulling some really interesting things. And this is where it really irritated me. I wasn't there. And they were pressuring my wife into, you really need to buy a new car. The idea of buying a used car is a terrible idea. If you buy a used car, you just don't know who's been driving it. It's a bad idea. Buy our new car. It's only a little bit more expensive.
Oh, so they were using scare tactics, basically saying,
on my wife.
Oh,
yes.
So, and, so the old, like, you don't know what's been done in this car. You don't know what smells are in here, what substance, right?
Even
you don't
if these know cars are been, like a year or two old.
You don't know how it's been serviced.
And most of that is just utter crap. First of all, nowadays, we do have ways, and she actually brought it up, which was really awesome. She said, well, there's the Carfax, and I can look at that. And also, most of these vehicles, you can just see if it's a loan return or if it's a lease return or whatever. You can actually track that. And she started going into this thing, and the guy's just like, well, what can I do to get you into any car today type thing? And when I discovered who this guy was and everything else, I did talk to his manager, but that's a whole different story. The fact is that he was taking advantage of somebody on the lot who he thought had a lack of experience, and he was trying to scare her into buying.
God, I thought those days are over.
They're not over. That's what drove me crazy. I lost my stuff.
I kind of thought, like, with the competition that traditional dealers are getting from, like, Tesla and from Rivian, where there's no salesman, right, where you just do it in the comfort of your own home in your underwear at 2 in the morning, and the next thing you know, the car shows up. And same thing with Carvana, right? That they would have figured out that these tactics don't work.
No, and it's a growing movement to hold these guys accountable for what I consider to be really sour tactics. And it's just a noticeable thing that if you send, and look, it, you know, this is just how it is. You send somebody to a lot, and if they look like they're inexperienced or a little bit lost, many salespeople will take advantage of that. And it's a real shame, because the minute that starts happening, I go on to the same thing. Don't bother with the sales lot anymore. You can go to one of these other companies. They'll bring you the car. You drive it for a few days. You don't like it. You switch it with something else. That's almost a better bet than having to go through the car experience. And by the way, for those of you who are like, well, then you don't get to test a car, I recommend you go to Turo or one of those companies, rent a car for a couple of days and really get used to it and see if you like it. But anyway, regardless, so I'm furious at dealerships.
Well, let me
but see. You had a good experience. So tell us about the Mustang experience.
Well, that was a great experience. But part of that is because, you know, we're TFL and we're a business.
Yeah.
So, you know, we work with a number of dealers and we spend a lot of time and effort and money kind of zipping through cars. And they know and they appreciate that we really don't have time for the usual.
Did they know we were a TFL at this dealership?
Yeah, I didn't know they knew that. Yeah, yeah. And so they also know me because of the videos, and then I know the manager. So I kind of skip the whole level of salesman, and I just go right to the manager. So, and I become friends with them, right? Over the years, you just get to ask them about their family and you get to know them.
Yeah.
So we bought this one from Brighton Ford, and it was in the middle of winter, and I, you know, we had a 2014 Mustang that we've been using to do a lot of drag racing, and I've noticed that a lot of people are watching those videos, but the comment was consistently, you need a new one. And I appreciate that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to use it as a baseline for Mustang.
And a benchmark, too.
But a benchmark, yeah. you need a new one. And so I was coming back, I think, from the airport in the older Mustang, and I just decided it was cold and miserable, and I just decided to pop in and see what they had on the lot. And there were like six or seven Mustangs sitting right out front. And, you know, I walked in and I'm like, Josh, why are you in the middle of like, you know, winter selling all these Mustangs? And he goes, well, that's just Ford. He was like, because what they do is you order the car and then it inevitably ends up coming like later than you thought. So he hoarded these cars for the summer thinking that he could, right, these are 2024s. And I'm like, well, you know, I've got this old Mustang. And he goes, let me take a look at it. He didn't even want to look at the car. He just wanted to know the VIN number. And what dealers can do, until their software took a dump, I think, was with the VIN, they could just go online and they can see exactly what the same vehicle that is, well, same, not same, similar to the one I was trading, they can exactly see what it's going for at the auction, what it's selling for, and so they know exactly how much to offer you for it.
Right.
And then, he said, I'll give you, I think, let's talk about numbers. So the Mustang we were looking at was like 48,000. It was a GT. And he said, I'll give you, I think it was almost $20,000 for the 2014. It was a low mile model, two owner GT premium. And then I'll give you $5,000 off on the one sitting on the lot. So for like $22,000 more plus tax, we got a new car. And I thought that was a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
And then, the other great thing is, you know, he said, bring it by tomorrow because it was late at night and place was closing, and I'll just, you know, take it in on trade and go see our business manager. And I walk in with a check and give him the check. I don't have to go through any of that, you know, dog and pony show where do you want clear code? Do you want the extended warranty? Because we don't keep the cars long enough, and they know that.
Yeah.
So I give him a check. He hands me the license plate, the temporary license plate to the new car. I hand him the keys to the old car. It's done. Literally, this whole process takes. Oh, there's also all the disclosures. So there is a lot of signing, but that's because it's mandated by the state of Colorado.
Yeah, you have to do it, and then all states require it in some way or another.
But I want to say from start to finish, the transaction takes 15 minutes.
Wow, that's impressive. So now that is an out of ordinary for your regular viewer transaction.
And let's talk about that too. Yeah. Part of that reason that transaction is so painless is because we're TFL, and I understand that. And we have you guys watching, listening. But more importantly, it's because, you know, I know Josh, the manager there. Mm-hmm. I have a relationship with him. And so he knows what I need. I know what he needs.
Right.
And we've kind of got the system figured out. And he understands, you know, for instance, that I'm not going to finance the car, which is actually bad. Once, I remember like when we were growing up, right? Like when your dad or my dad, they'd walk into the dealership, and if they had money, right, they'd be like, okay, and what's the cash price?
Yep. There was always that. And in fact, you threw that out first sometimes just to shut them up about stupid financing.
Right. Or you, once you got the best deal, you'd be like, and how about if I buy it now? You know.
Yeah. What if I take it off your lot right now?
Yeah. And now that actually is not good. That's actually bad in terms of trying to get the best deal possible. And the reason for that is manufacturers sell the cars, you know, and there's a certain profit margin built in from the MSRP to what the dealer pays for it. But that profit margin is tiny compared to what a dealer can get when you finance the car from, you know, the financing company. And so they make a lot more money when you borrow money as opposed to when you pay cash. Oh, so sometimes paying cash, actually most of the time paying cash is actually worse. And they don't like people who pay cash.
Now, this is all new cars, by the way. Yeah. Used cars is a completely different thing. And by the way, and I wanted to go into a separate thing, a positive experience that all you guys can also partake in. And that is, so let's say you're not a well-known organization like TFL, which...
You don't have a relationship with the dealership.
And let's say you don't have a relationship with the dealership. There are dealerships out there that are competitive. And you can actually go into Yelp and a bunch of other things and actually look them up and see, you know, that, hey, this is real. Now, granted, sometimes, you know, you'll have people write their own reviews. But if you do enough research and due diligence, I think you can really work it out. And I'll give you an example. I actually had a very pleasurable experience buying my now sold Santa Cruz. My Hyundai Santa Cruz, other than the fact that I had to wait 4 months for it, and this is the only car, new car I bought in like almost 20 years.
Didn't you buy this during the height of COVID too?
Yeah, I know.
Was a hard time to buy.
And that's what bumped it an extra few months.
Yeah.
But I ordered it exactly how I wanted it, right?
Yep.
So I was able to get
the 8-speed automatic. Don't do the dual clutch.
Well, yeah, and the dual clutch is the turbo. So that's but although that's improved, by the way, they've fixed a lot of the problems there, but not all of them. Anyway, so
did you ever get a hitch wiring system for it?
No, that was the one thing that's and I will hold that over Hyundai for the rest of my life. They screwed up my wiring, but for the car itself drove fine.
They didn't screw it up. They just didn't get it.
Well, they screwed up not fixing it, and. It's this whole different thing. Anyway, I went to this shop in here in Colorado.
And shop in Denver is really good.
Yeah.
I don't think they sell cars at over MSRP. They just sell MSRP.
No, they sold it exactly at MSRP and had nothing to do with me. I actually bought it through my wife's name.
Okay.
And so it wasn't like using TFL. And I was able to do all the paperwork online. And in order to – I was actually out of town. At the time, I was going to SEMA. And after SEMA, I was going on the trip with Roman to go cross-country in a Hyundai Ioniq 5. Have nothing to do with the two of the things, but we went and did that anyway. Anyway, so while I'm doing that, my wife is picking up the car. She went in and she said it took about 20 minutes, and the only thing that they had to do was they had to replace the floor mats because I ordered like the special rubber ones or whatever, and they had to go into their inventory, find it, and then put it in there.
Why don't they all sell rubber floor mats?
Well, because the carpeted floor mats are an addition, and that's what they came with.
I get that. But why does anybody out there actually want carpeted floor mats?
Yeah, of course people do.
They get wet, they get stinky, they get dirty.
No, there's lots of people who love carpeted foam.
But you're putting carpet on carpet, right? There's carpet in the car.
And then you got little cleats on the bottom.
So why don't you go with the rubber ones that actually like...
Because that's what you like and not everybody likes.
No. I'm not trying to force my views. I just don't understand the rationale for choosing carpet over... rubber, right? That's why WeatherTech is doing so well, because people realize, I think, that the rubber ones just hold dirt much better and keep their carpet. Because I just bought a car. No, what was it? Yeah, we bought a Mustang, for instance.
Yes.
I want to say that had carpeted floor mats.
May have.
And in the winter, they just got incredibly wet and dirty because your feet are trudging through. I mean, your shoes are trudging through snow, and then you get snow on them, and you get in the car, and it melts, of course, and it melts into that carpet, creates a mess.
A lot of snow in Florida, a lot of snow in Southern California.
Well, sand.
Texas.
How about there's sand in Florida, Nathan?
Yeah, but there's aesthetics. People love the look of it, and they love the sound deadening quality. They love taking their shoes off and putting their bare little tootsies on it. Yeah, I mean, come on. That's if people hated it so much, they would eventually just get rid of it.
I just think because you can like. What car? The Tesla Cybertruck, right? Mm-hmm. That came with just those rubber mats everywhere. And it just feels much – and it's a truck, of course, because it is going to be more fun.
Lots of SUVs and crossovers.
But it's a $100,000 truck. So. Yeah.
Well, how about a, at the time, $19,000 Honda what was it? Not the Eclipse. What do they call that?
It was a $100,000 Honda?
No. It was a $19,000 Honda. It was
the Element?
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was all rubber mats, and it had rubber floors, and it had rubber sections around the seats.
And you're right. I mean, carpeting does provide a layer of insulation, but I just hate wrecking things. And I think I'd be a horrible Rolls Royce owner, right, or Bentley owner, where they have those,
tell them what we do when we. So when we get cars and we have to take them off road, or even into the snow, the floor mats, which are often carpet. Yeah. We have to flip them over. Which is
for the rubber part.
Right. So the rubber part's sticking up. So that way, whatever the goo is on our shoes will leak on there. And that way, later on, we can wash it out. We try not to return the cars with destroyed interiors. And that is one of the ways we do it, which is a top tip for you guys today.
Right? I was listening to Tim's podcast, and he was talking. Tim, this is Tim from Truck and SUV Talk.
Yeah.
I guess he took one of the test trucks hunting, and he bagged a deer and he put it in the back of the deer. Okay. And he was talking about how he spent like 2 days washing it because he ended up getting blood everywhere in the bed of the thing.
Can you imagine explaining that?
I know. I was just thinking that the Presley guy comes to pick it up and there's dried blood everywhere.
Funny story. Early on,
where's your wife?
Almost 20 years ago, it was actually a Subaru Forester that I was testing. This is actually before I was working with TFL.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine came to visit, and he brought a whole box of cigars.
Okay.
And he accidentally forgot them in the back of the car, so they started, like, tumbling around. Well, shortly thereafter, I had my my daughter in the car. She was an infant at the time, and she dropped her bottle, so that's there. Then one of my neighbors needed some help because he had cut his hand. And so he had, like, bloody bandages.
Yeah.
And those were on the floor. So I get a phone call. And, like, okay, we got a car that has, like, an old baby bottle, cigars, and bloody napkins in it. Can you please explain what the hell happened? And it took me a second because that's the phone, the message I had on my phone. I'm like, what the who, what? And then these poor guys have to go through all this stuff every time they get a car back.
So when we get a car from the fleet, there are a bunch of rules that we have to follow, right?
Yes, yes.
So first of all, you have to sign, saying obviously. And then our license gets run through the whatever they do to make sure that we have a license and that we don't have DUIs.
Right.
The stuff you would, but there's a whole bunch of stuff you would think of that we also have to do. First and foremost, like, you're not supposed to have animals or pets in the vehicle because they obviously shed and leave furry.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, for the most part, I try to honor that. But every so often, you know, I've got, like, a moving blanket that I'll put in the back when I have to, like, move Blaze.
We've had Blaze in the back of a few cars just to show trunk size. Most automakers don't mind that, but when you have a shedding animal that you leave in the car for 3 days or something like that, probably a bad idea.
So that's one of the things you can't do. And then I'm not sure, can you eat in the cars or not?
And it depends on the company.
Okay.
There are a couple companies, usually the higher end ones, that really do not want you eating in the vehicle.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what I did, which I'm ashamed of to this day. You know how Tim, like, got the bed of the truck all bloody when he went hunting? Well, I did something similar, but more in a Roman fashion. So I've got this bad, I'm going to call it guilty pleasure, where I like McDonald's French fries.
Nothing wrong with that.
So every so often, I will pull into the McDonald's and I'll get myself, not a Diet Coke, no, the full-leaded regular Coke, which I think is delicious. I think McDonald's has.
They have their own formula. McDonald's, if you're looking for a sponsorship opportunity, tflcar.com, please.
And I'll get a medium fry.
Okay.
Right? So I'll get a Coke, medium fry. And that's freaking expensive. That used to be like $3, and now it's like $6.
Of course it is. Everything's got, all the prices have gone up.
Right? So I'm at the window. And they hand me, and then what I do is I put the fry in the cup holder and then the Coke in the cup holder, right? But the problem comes that I also like ketchup. So if you were to just eat the fries and the Coke, it'd be okay. But now how do you get ketchup on the French fries when you're sitting in the car driving, right? Or sitting in the car in the parking lot of McDonald's eating the French fries, right? Yeah. So usually I pull in the parking lot and I just sit there and I eat my French fries, listen to the radio, and have a really good old time for like 15 minutes, right?
Okay.
But they give you those little packets. So I was kind of delicately balancing the French fries on my lap. I didn't put in the cup holder like I usually do, like that little box. And then I was trying to open the little ketchup packet. And you know, those things are hard to open, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the thing kind of went flying out of my hands. And I went to grab it before it landed on this is the BMW XM, by the way, if I haven't said this, which is this $165, right?
It's not cheap.
No, it's not cheap. So I'm in this very expensive car. That was probably an important thing to say at the beginning of this. So the ketchup packet goes flying. I go to grab it, and the fries just go, they just explode because I'd forgotten I had them in my lap.
Yep.
So now I have, like, you know, whatever, how many French fries are in a box? A couple hundred?
I would say probably about 60.
Yeah. Anyway, they're all over the place. They're on my lap. You know, a bunch of them went in that place between the seats. And so I did the best I could, but there were a bunch of French fries I just could not reach, like on the side of the seat and kind of tucked in deep. So I did return that BMW XM with some stray fries.
Yeah, but that's we try to avoid that, don't we, Roman? We do try to avoid eating. And the other thing that's really important is that we really do try. If we do screw up, we always own up to it. A, and B.
I didn't own up to it.
You didn't own up to that?
No.
What the hell? Every policy I'm going to mention, you're just walking away from. Well, then you're the boss. I guess that's all right.
I didn't own up to it.
You're supposed to. Anyway, BMW, I apologize.
Sorry, BMW, and sorry, you know, press fleet manager. I didn't own up to that.
By the way, French really simple way with the fries and the ketchup. Order an extra lid to your soda. Flip the lid upside down and then squirt this ketchup into the lid.
But how about the little hole where the straw goes?
It doesn't really.
It'll hold it?
Yeah, it'll hold it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Top TFL tip.
Top TFL tip coming from the chubby guy at TFL. Trust me, I know.
And by the way, Did you see our new shirts? Check this out.
Oh, yeah. For those of you who are listening, we have new shirts, new swag.
Yeah, it's a TFL stuff in this one for all you watching. What does it say?
It says, Karma is a Hitch.
Yeah.
H-I-T-C-H.
Cool. Yeah, Karma is a Hitch TFL.
Yeah. Truck. We have another one that says, My Other Truck is a Truck.
Yep. I Survived the
Ike Gauntlet.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. Pretty much Back in Black for the Classics channel for Tommy's Model T videos. Anyway, TFL stuff if you want to get yourself a T-shirt or sticker and help support the team.
Yeah, so we got that type of stuff.
Oh,
so,
and then other thing we're doing, I'm going to promote this.
Yeah, sure.
I got an email from one of our Patreons, and he said, hey, what am I getting for this? And I thought about it, and I said, well, you're getting some videos early, but I didn't think that was enough. He didn't think that was enough. Mm-hmm. So we started doing behind-the-scenes videos.
Okay.
Just for our Patreon members, we started actually posting commercial-free, at least YouTube commercial-free videos early for them. We're going to be doing Zoom calls with them, answer their questions. We're actually answer their car buying questions through the Patreon app. So if you want to become a member and help support the team and get your questions answered and get to know the team, get discounts on the T-shirts, we have that as well. Head on over to patreon.com/TFL or click on the link below. If you're listening to this, just you got to go to the website.
The highest Patreon donor will get Roman over to wax their car in his Speedo.
Well, no, I'm not going to do that. I will.
After that French fries thing, I think you owe it to them. I swear.
I will try to do my best to answer your questions. All right, let's get back to the topic.
So let's go back.
Can I give you a horrible experience I had? Or you want to go?
I want to finish the one.
Go ahead.
Let me finish. Then you can go to the horrible. So anyways, out of town, as I mentioned before, all the paperwork was filled out online. Even though a lot of people were pushing to go over MSRP, and this is a brand new vehicle. This is the Santa Cruz, right when it came out, and there were a lot of other places that were offering a $2,000, $3,000, even $4,000+ upgrade package, or one of them called like a security package, where they added an extra level of security, which was turned out to be BS. In other states and other cities, but this place MSRP. They weren't going to go lower than it, but they're going to stick at it, and they did. And we were able to buy the vehicle, and we were able to finance the vehicle, no big deal. And by the time she walked in there, she had a 15-minute turnaround, well, 20 minutes because of the floor mats, and she was able to get out of there with the car, no problems. Honestly, that is one of the more positive buying experiences I've had there. Nobody tried to upsell her. No phone calls coming in going, which I got, by the way, from other people saying, oh, by the way, if you want an extra roof rack, we could probably attach that to your car. This is just crap. When you buy a vehicle, you want to get the vehicle. If you want extras, you go buy them. Having people come and pitch you for them is absolutely ridiculous. So anyway, bottom line, we got the vehicle, no big deal. Kept it for about 2 years, very happy with it, with one exception, and everything is now gone and done.
Now, this is a problem that me and you don't have, obviously, but one of our guys who works there, and I don't want to name names once again, his girlfriend bought a car from a dealership, and the salesman started cyber-stalking her after she bought the car. So he asked for her, like, her email, and then based on her name that he had, obviously, he looked her up on all social media, and he started stalking her on social media.
Yeah, now, fortunately, he didn't do anything or say anything particularly lewd, but the fact that he was there checking her out and...
That's creepy. Creepy, you know.
That is somebody who I believe is no longer doing that. Hopefully, not only terminated from the company, but possibly terminated from the planet.
It's just, you know.
It's ridiculous. And this is one of the problems. Many people who become salespeople, men and women, in many cases, A, they don't know their product, which is unforgivable. And B, many of them honestly don't care. They're just there to quickly make a buck. Now, on the other hand, there are some good salespeople out there, to be fair, but they're few and far between.
Oh, I've met some great salespeople, and a lot of them listen to this podcast or watch our videos.
Which is why I'm giving them the credit they deserve.
Yeah, they love cars. And before I get to my really bad experience,
yes.
How was the Santa Cruz? How many miles did you put on it? How long did you have it? And were you happy with it? And what did you like and what didn't you like about it?
Okay. Just under 25,000 miles.
Uh-huh.
I had it for 21 months, I believe, so just under 2 years. And in that time, I used it as a daily driver. I lived in Aurora, and our studios is in Boulder. So I needed a commuter to go back and forth, and I also needed something that I could leave in case I was out traveling, where my wife could drive it and have no issues. If it breaks down, take it to the manufacturer, full warranty, no big deal. It's one of my big fears. By the way, that is part of the whole fear thing about buying a new car. You can only get a warranty if you, whatever. That's nonsense.
You can get a
certified pre-owned. Exactly. Warranties are quite good nowadays.
Or you can buy a warranty after the fact.
Mm-hmm. There are some good ones out there.
Yeah. So there's
calling you on your phone to sell you a warranty, no.
I also don't like when your warranty, the one for the manufacturer, OEM warranty expires, you get all this stuff either in the mail or on the phone where they're trying to upsell you. And then, once again, it's fear tactics, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if your engine flops out of your car? I'm like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, there were some horrible ones. And some of these companies, CarMax, Carvana, whatnot, they have extra warranties. Always check the fine print.
Did you have any issues with that car over the
years? Yes, I did.
What were the issues?
Okay. Interrupting me to interrupt you and interrupting me back. So one of the issues, really the main issue, was that I had wiring for a simple 4-pin tow rig. Basically.
Connector.
A connector, but yeah. this car can only tow 3,500 pounds. And if you got the turbo, then you could go up to 5,000 pounds. But I didn't need that. So this car could do that. Well, they had a recall, and this was about 3 months after I bought the car,
mm-hmm.
and brought it in. And what they were supposed to do is replace the wiring harness and or a fuse, and then, you know, be done with it. A year later, nothing. 18 months later, nothing. I actually used what status I have to contact Hyundai directly, and they gave me the exact same cut and paste statement that they said originally with the original recall. And the original recall was all based on the fact that it might arc and then make the car go into your house, blow up, and completely ruin your life and children. But the real thing here is this. They didn't fix the problem. It was an easy problem to fix. Other people who had the same problem as me, and I went to boards and whatnot and checked it out, they went to other companies like Curt and replaced it. But the deal is, I paid for that towing package. They should have fixed it, and they didn't, and they didn't communicate. And I talked to dealerships, and I talked to headquarters, and nobody gave me a fix. Now, I'm sure there's some people out there like, oh, I totally got it fixed in no time. Well, you know what? There were no notices sent to me. There were no notices sent to many of the people who had that problem. So, despite the fact that the car was flawless in terms of its performance
and everything else. Like Reddit or some of the forums?
Yeah, I actually did. I went into several things. And the odd thing is that the very same unit, which is used in the Hyundai Santa Fe,
mm-hmm.
Was replaced after the recall, but they didn't replace it in the Santa Cruz.
Gotcha.
And so I don't know what the hell that was either. But, you know, at that point, I was already about to sell the car, and which took for months, by the way, because we held off for various reasons. But anyway, the point is that the car, other than that issue, which is a Hyundai corporate issue as far as I'm concerned, mechanically, the car was fine. I averaged 25 miles per gallon combined over the course of nearly 2 years.
That's really good for a small truck.
For a small little trucklet. Yeah. I did tow with it back when they let me tow with it. This is the thing. I wasn't able to tow after they took the wiring out. And it towed actually pretty good. I mean, you know, and everything about it was great and held a lot. 1,400 pounds of payload without a problem. Really did enjoy that. And I am sorry to see it go. But at the same time, I don't need a new car. I don't need to be making new car payments. I just replaced my wife's car, and now I got this big behemoth that I'll be using to haul stuff around. I just don't need a third car.
You know, what's interesting about the Santa Cruz, right, is that it came out at about the same time that the Maverick came out. So
yeah.
we had two compact trucks, or trucklets, as you called them,
yeah.
that hit the market at the same time. Now, Ford, being, you know, the F-150 manufacturer, took a very truck-like approach to it.
Yes, so, they did, and they did an excellent job out of the box.
So, you know, very trucky, very utilitarian. Hyundai, on the other hand, decided to go much more, and I know the designer, California guy, right, much mm-hmm. more lifestyle. So
yeah.
this is much more of like a throw your surfboard in the back versus
right.
throw a, you know, pile of lumber in the back. And I think Ford, in terms of sales, probably took the right approach because I think I'm guessing at this, but I don't think I'm too far off. I think the Maverick outsells the Santa Cruz by like 5-1.
Easily. And in addition, the Maverick, they were so smart about when they came out with it, having a front-wheel drive base model that is a hybrid. At the time, it was the least expensive hybrid you could own. It still could hold 5 passengers, hold a ton of stuff in the back. Yeah, it didn't tow much, but it was a really good idea. And the only reason I didn't buy the hybrid was because it didn't have all-wheel drive, and I wanted all-wheel drive here in Colorado. Plus, my wife thought that the Santa Cruz was a little bit more comfortable to drive Because I had to drive both, of course.
Yeah, it's more. It's definitely more.
It's a more car-like experience.
Yeah, it's more creature comforts. Mm-hmm. But I can't wait, and I'm thinking about, you know, the fact that maybe we, as TFL, we should buy this when the new hybrid all-wheel drive Maverick comes out.
I'm expecting maybe next year. Right now, they're open to second line. They're actually building more Mavericks now because of the demand is through the roof.
First of all, Ford hasn't even confirmed that they're building it, but we've seen spy shots of it.
We're pretty damn sure they're going to do it.
Yeah, they're probably going to build it.
I think it's unofficially confirmed is the way to put it. But nonetheless, anyway, going back to this, yeah, it was a pleasant experience to own the vehicle with that one minor issue. And all in all, it was extremely utilitarian. I used the bed all the time. I used it more than when I had an actual pickup truck that could really do the heavy stuff when I had a Toyota Tacoma back in the day. I did way more lifting with that car, and it did great. So, yeah, decent little car slash truck thing. Worked out great.
All right, so let's talk about a really horrible experience I had.
Yes, and please.
This was kind of in the height of COVID. Remember when we bought Stubby?
Yeah, yeah.
This was probably one of the more painful experiences I had trying to buy a vehicle. So not using any TFL, you know.
Our clout.
Right, yeah. I eventually went, you know, to Ram because I couldn't find the vehicle, but I was having such a horrible time. This is over a period of weeks.
Well, you need to explain what we were trying to do.
So we were trying to buy the cheapest truck in America.
Full-size truck.
Full-size truck, all-wheel drive. We wanted the cheapest all-wheel drive truck.
Four-wheel drive.
Four-wheel drive, yeah. Okay, truck in America. And at that time, that would have been the classic Ram. So Ram was building, I think they're still doing it, aren't they?
I think they finally stopped.
Yeah, so they didn't stop building the previous generation. They just kept building it alongside.
It's known as the Ram Classic.
Yeah, alongside the new one, and it was substantially cheaper. And you'd go online, and you'd be like, okay, you go to a dealer, and you look on their website, and you would see what was the cheapest truck they had. You could do a mm-hmm. search for cheapest trucks, and there it was. There was Stubby, right? And
yep.
You'd be like, great, they've got Stubby. This is what we want. And Stubby was like $32,000.
Okay.
Which was actually really affordable. Now it seems like it's super affordable, but back then it actually
felt. That's the same price as my Santa Cruz, by the way.
Yeah, but this is a full-size truck.
Yeah, exactly. Bigger bed, bigger vehicle.
So then you pick up the phone, and you call the dealership, and you're like, hey, can I speak with new truck sales? And like, no problem, I'm up on hold, no, you know, the bad music. And then like Sarah comes on and I'd be like, hey, Sarah, I noticed that you guys are selling this classic Ram four-wheel drive. Is it still in the lot? And she'd be like, let me go check. And I'd be like, okay, fair enough. So she'd come back like 5 minutes later and she'd be like, oh, it just sold. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's bad luck. So do it again in the next dealership, right? I went through like 15 dealerships, same process. And they'd be like, oh, that one is on the way. It's not on the lot yet. And I'm like, but it says it's on your lot, on your website. I'm like, okay. So I called the next dealership. And there would always be some excuse. And basically what they were doing was they were putting up these pictures of this truck to make it seem like they had it in inventory when in fact they never had it in inventory.
Yeah, it's bait and switch.
It was like the lost leader bait and switch.
Yep.
They were trying to do was get me to call, because the next, you know, question out of her mouth would be, or out of his mouth, depending on the salesman, would be, well, sorry, we don't have this truck, but we have this two-wheel drive truck, you know. And I'm like, no, I don't want this. I want a very specific vehicle. And I just felt like I thought bait and switch was illegal, but that's exactly what was happening. They were bait and switching me, and it got so bad, Nathan, that I eventually had to call Ram, because I was like, you know, this is just crazy. You know, why are these dealerships doing this? And, you know, why are you guys allowing your dealerships to do this? And the manufacturer will be like, well, you know, we sell the vehicle to them. And this is true. They have no control.
There's very little.
I think people sometimes mistake dealerships like retail stores, right? Where, let's say you're, I don't know, pick the retail store of your, like,
iPhone.
Yeah. Well, Apple. Yeah. Apple. Like, yeah. Like it's part of the corporate structure. And if there's something wrong at the Apple store, you know, it reflects and it is controlled by Apple, but it's not. Dealerships are independent businesses.
Yep.
At any given time, they have, you know, millions or tens of millions or even hundreds of millions, depending on the dealership, of vehicles or inventory on their lot. And they bought those vehicles from the manufacturer.
Right.
So, you know, they then can do whatever they want with those.
In essence, yeah. Yeah.
And there have been legal fights for that very question.
Which is, once again, going back to that whole thing of like, what's best for you. You're going to go to this dealership, which may or may not represent the automaker. And you have to question that, too. And if they blow it, the only thing you really can do, the only recourse you really have, if they screw around like they were with Roman, is you can go onto social media and just let the world know that these guys are
screwed. You could try to shame them, right?
Yeah, but that, at least it's something. You have a tools, but not much else you can do. Because, as Roman said, if you try to go to the manufacturer, if you try to go to Chrysler Corporate or any Chrysler.
Or Ram, yeah. They'll be like, this is out of our
sorry.
Hands.
Sorry. You know, I mean, look, we love you guys, but nothing we can do. And they're right. There's nothing they can do.
And,
so,
and that same problem comes when dealerships are selling at over MSRP.
Oh, man. And during COVID, that was we did shame certain lots that were just ridiculous. Double pricing vehicles, $70,000 vehicles suddenly going for $150,000. Stuff like that was happening. We brought that to light. But regardless of that, unfortunately, those dealerships are still free to do what they want to do. It's just a question of whether or not the corporate entities that they're dealing with want to still deal with them. And in most cases, they probably do because money's money, right?
Yeah.
So finish the story of the Ram.
So I called a Ram and they were like, sorry, there's nothing we can do. And I'm like, hey, can you help me locate this truck?
Right.
And they couldn't even help me locate the truck because they were so few. Finally, I found one of them sitting on a lot in Idaho.
That's right.
Yeah, actually in Boise. Actually, two of them. One was sold and the other one was still available. And I called the dealership and they're like, yeah, it's here. And I was like, okay, here's a credit card.
Yep.
I'm flying in tomorrow after that week of hell trying to find one.
Yeah, you and Tommy did a video of you guys actually driving it back.
Yeah, we bought it, drove it back, paid MSRP, and we're just happy to have it. Maybe it was more. Maybe it was like $38,000. I want to say you could get at that time, and I could
maybe
be
maybe the two-wheel drive was 32.
Two-wheel drive was 32.
Like 4,000 on top.
It was $7,500 more for the four-wheel drive.
That sounds about right. I remember just like spitting out my drink when you guys told me that. But the good news is that Stubby was a very popular vehicle here at TFL, and I am forever the villain because I added some stickers to it later on in time. That's a whole different story.
I still have a piece of poop on my door. Okay. Long story. Go back and look at why we have poop on the truck.
Yeah, a sticker of poop. Let's just clarify that. Anyway, so to wrap up, at least on my end, the nightmare stories, and I just wanted to, we're trying to be advocates for you guys to a certain degree because I think that a lot of you guys do go to dealerships with the hopes of buying yourselves a good car. And if it's one of those dealerships that has used cars and new cars, there are times when they will try to push you into a new car. And sometimes that works. You'd be surprised that some cars really do hold their value, and you can get a very similar car that's brand new for less. That can happen.
Well, I think the lesson here, Nathan, is don't be afraid. And a lot of people, I think, are afraid or don't want to do this because they find it inconvenient. Don't be afraid to travel. Don't be afraid to cross shop dealerships, not across town, but across states. And some of the best times in my life that I've had is going, and I'll give you an example of that, going to Albuquerque and picking up our Mini SE.
Mm-hmm.
And then driving it back with Tommy, right? That was just a wonderful experience. The dealership was great. And the horror story there was, this was once again during COVID. The SE Minis were far and few in between. And the SEs are the electric ones that we wanted. We have a thing for small electric cars for some reason. Don't ask me why, but we went through a bunch of them.
Yeah.
It's like a drug. It's a weakness and a drug. But anyway, it's so bad actually that I was looking at the Hyundai dealer here in Boulder. They have the last generation smart EV. And Mercedes did something really unusual, which is in the last generation that was sold here, they actually went from a range of like 68 miles to 58 miles. They actually lowered the range.
Wow.
How is that even possible?
Well,
we should do a video on that, right? Head scratchers.
Oh, head scratchers? That's not a half bad idea at all.
Yeah, so like how do they manage to go from a car with more range to a car with less range. And the other head scratcher in this electric, if we categorize these, would be, of course, the Mazda.
Oh,
remember the Mazda? The CX-30? Was that what it was?
It
wasn't like CX-30. It was
XC-30? It was something like
that. It was the all-electric.
Well, it was electric. It had a range extender, too.
No, in Europe it had a rotary. Didn't get it. So ours had a range of exactly like 100 miles or less.
Which really didn't. And
I remember calling because I thought to myself, this would be an interesting vehicle because it's one of the worst electric cars you could buy.
Right.
And so that headline alone would be good for a video. And I called a dealer thinking, you know, they're going to be sitting on these things. They're going to want to get rid of them. Maybe I can pick one up for dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm.
They still wanted a full sticker for
it. Yeah, you know, I noticed that too.
Even though the range was just hilariously poor. You know, charging was hilariously slow.
MX-30.
MX-30. Very good. Thank you for getting that. Yeah. So I'll tell you another horror story. So I was looking for this Mini. Once again, hard to find cars. You know, this was during COVID. So a lot of the worst of dealerships came out because they could get away with it. If you had a car, you were going to sell it at sticker or above.
Yeah. I still want to hold some of these guys to account.
And so I called this dealership in California, this Mini dealership, and they had this like... it was like a jalapeno. What are the red peppers called? Those aren't jalapenos. Those are. That was the color. Was
bell pepper?
No, not bell pepper. The hot pepper. The red hot pepper.
Is it jalapeno? Chili pepper?
Is it jalapeno?
The flea pepper.
Maybe a chili pepper. I think there's chili pepper red.
Okay.
I think
chili pepper red.
So this chili pepper red, beautiful car. Really liked it. I think it only came in like there were a few colors that came in. And I call him up, and I just wanted to pay sticker for it. And at that time, it was like $32,000, right? Because the car only had 114 miles of range, if I recall right.
Right.
So I give them a call, and they're like, yep, we're selling it for sticker. I'm like, great, I'll take it. And I was about to give them my credit card to secure it because I was going to fly it and drive it home, which would have been really hard from California. I mean, driving from Albuquerque with 114 miles was quite the ordeal. But from California, I would have been, we would have done it. I mean, that's what we do, right?
That's what we do.
And I go, so can you just confirm the final price? And they're like $35,000 or $38,000. I'm like, what? I'm like, where are you getting that? Are you charging me California tax? Because I live in Colorado. You can't do that.
Right.
And they go, no, because, you know, we think that the car can easily be stolen. We're adding on a low jack for $800.
Mm-hmm, that's the security thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. And then they're like, and, you know, we want to make sure that the paint gets protected. So, you know, the paint protection, that's another $1,500.
Yep.
And there was this whole litany of crap that they had added onto the car, none of which I wanted or needed, right? And then I was like dumbfounded by that. And I'm like, you realize that this car is web enabled and in the app, it tells you where it's at.
Yeah.
Why do I need a low jack? And they're like, oh, for added security because the low jack is hidden. And I'm like, I don't think that thieves are going to figure out how to disable that in the car itself. Not the low jack. They can probably find that. But the actual part of the car that transmits where it's at, you know, so you can see it on the app.
Right.
And it was completely hilarious because it was like a bad movie, you know? Oh, we could, because their thing was we sell cars only at sticker. Except we add on $5,000 worth of stuff you don't want.
This is exactly what happened to me.
That cost us $15 and charge you the rest.
Yeah. This is how they're going to make that extra little profit. And once they start doing that, you really have to blacklist those people. Be done with them. They're done. I don't want to see you ever again. And let your friends know. Go online. Let the world know. Well, that's what you should do.
By the end of COVID, they didn't even do that, right? They were just ADM, just additional market. What was it?
Yeah, markup.
Markup, yeah. And they were like, you know, these cars are hard to get, so if you want it, it's 10K over sticker.
Yep. And a lot of people got away with that. And once again, I really hope they're held to account later.
Because people don't like waiting.
That's part of it, yeah. Or some people can't wait.
Yeah, if you're stuck and you need a vehicle to go to work.
My nephew-in-law, I guess that's what you would call him, he got a Honda Accord Hybrid. And he got it because his other car got smashed. He had no choice. He had to get a new car. So this is what he got.
And I'll finish off. Once again, I don't want to name names here because we almost got sued over this, and I don't want to go down that road again.
Mm.
But I'll tell you probably one of the worst things that happened to us, and that is we bought the last Raptor that we bought, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I call up this dealer that I've been working with in the past, and I'm looking for a Raptor. I noticed that they had one on their website, and I go, do you have this Raptor on your website? And, you know, Raptors have always been hard to get.
Yeah.
And they said, yes. And I go, great. You know, it was red, which is great for camera. And I go, are you selling it at MSRP? They go, yes. I go, great. Here's my credit card. Give my credit card. And I'd worked with these people before, so I was trusting them. Go to pick it up, bring a check. Once again, go through the entire process. No problems whatsoever. And pay him the money, and I go and get in the, I didn't even look at the truck, Nathan. I just assumed that it was new, right?
Because
it was new. go in the truck. It had 1,000 miles on it. The salesman didn't tell me. And you know, I'm sure it was disclosed in the stuff I was signing. But there's one of the problems in Colorado is you're signing so much that by like page 15, you're like, okay, just blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I can
understand. Yeah. And nobody like at the dealership bothered to tell me that this was not a new truck. And, it, you know, 1,000 miles, I mean, it's not a lot in the big scheme of things, but you kind of want to be the first guy to or gal to crack open.
If you're going to spend that type of money to buy a brand new vehicle,
you kind of want to be the first one to crack open the seal, right? You want to be the guy or gal pulling off the little
the plastics and all that.
Because you feel like you're spending so much. And I just felt like, really? Really? Yeah. 1,000 miles and nobody managed to say a word? And I don't know if they were being malicious or not. I just know that I just felt really, really disappointed.
I'm pretty sure we could have taken him to court and won.
And it left a sour taste in my mouth. Yeah. And I've never bought another car from the dealership.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is that you mess around and find out. Anyway, guys, we're gonna roll this all back together to just kind of coming back to the main theme here, which is you do have options. Don't be afraid to explore those options. You go to a dealership if you feel even for a minute that you're being taken advantage of or you're hesitant. There's no law. There's no gun to your head saying you cannot walk away from this.
But the whole, as hell can. But the whole system is like, what happens is you feel like you've put in all this time. You're so far down that road, right? I've been there, Nathan. You know, you fall in love with a car that they lend you a ticket for a test drive, and it's a perfect car, and you see yourself driving it to work, and you're so happy. And then they just wear you down, right? They take you into the business manager's office, or they make you wait. I think the worst experience I had was when I was much younger. I was buying a 300ZX, and I was trading, and I forget what I was trading. I think I had a Civic at that time, SI, and they basically would not return the keys to me. I didn't want the car, and they were like, "Well, we're evaluating it for how much it's worth." And they held me at the dealership for like 2, maybe 3 hours. And you know they weren't evaluating crap, right?
No.
All they did was they took the keys from me, and they knew that they would wear me down, and then if I didn't, you know,
have access
to my keys, I could not get, you know, out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept coming back, and I'm like, hey, where's my car? Oh, we're still evaluating it. And the first hour or so, I was like, okay, Mom, they want to do a decent evaluation of it, so I want to get the highest dollar possible on the trade. And by like hour two, I was like, give me my keys. And I was ready to call the cops at that point. It got that bad.
I had a similar situation with the Toyota that I bought when I had my Toyota Tacoma.
Actually, I think I told him, I said, either give me my keys or I'm calling the cops, you've stolen it. And finally, all of a sudden, the manager mysteriously showed up. That was another trick, right?
Yeah.
I talked to the manager.
Let me go with my manager.
The manager's at lunch,
yeah,
but he'll be back soon, 3 hours later. Oh, he got called away to a meeting.
Yep.
They
held my keys for my Toyota. I was thinking about trading it in to get my wife a car. It was a while ago. What's that?
Hey, let us know your worst stories. We'd love to read them.
We would love to read them. Anyway,
you're saying they held your keys for your wife?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I was thinking about trading it in to get my wife a car, and it was like an hour. And I said, "Hey, so what you doing?" Well, we're still looking at the trade-in. Now, here was the deal. I went outside and I was on the phone with a friend of mine, and I could see the truck just sitting in a parking lot. Nobody had gone near it.
Of course.
And I walked back inside, and I was waiting and waiting. Finally, I go up to the guy. I said, nobody's looked at my truck, and it's been over an hour. Oh, no, we need to do a full evaluation. We have our expert is going to look at it and everything else, and then my manager's going to talk to you. And I said, oh, really? I need my keys. And they did the same thing. Well, the keys are being held by the da-da-da-da. I said, okay, show me where he is. Oh, well, he's in the, you know, in the shop. You can't go in there. I went in there. I walked right in. I said, where are my keys? And the shop manager's looking at me like, who the hell are you? And he turned right around when I told him, you know, hey, that black Toyota out there is mine. And in a minute, he handed me the keys and I drove off. And then I talked to the manager later on and we had a wonderful discussion. But the point is that these types of little trappings, and there's many of them, you can go online and find all these different little things, they still do them. So just be aware, be your own advocate, and I do recommend using online tools if you're going to go buy a vehicle because a lot of these guys are unsavory. So that's the final thing I want to say.
Not all of them. I don't want to be like...
A lot of them are. Not all of them.
Well, thank you guys for watching. Head on over to All TFL. Nathan, have a safe drive to California.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a drive.
Yeah, have a safe drive. And I can't wait to see you behind the wheel of a Maserati.
Yes, coming soon. Stay tuned.
And, we'll keep doing this and hopefully we'll do it over Zoom.
Yes.
because that is, of course, new modern technology that we can
that you
utilize.
Might be able to trust.
Yes. All right. We'll see you guys next time.
All right. Ciao. See you guys.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.